Legend has it, underneath the NJM insurance offices lies a mysterious room of long-forgotten, mouldy mascot memorabilia. Often pitched by ad agencies, always rejected by NJM. Is it real? We may never know. But what is real is NJM's dedication to doing what's right for their customers. Astoundingly, they're proud to put policyholders first. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. Learn more at njm.com.
If there's anything better than getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's, it's getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's for less in the McDonald's app. Delicious. Order in the McDonald's app today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, only in the app. Enjoy a breakfast sandwich for just $1, like a sausage McMuffin with egg. Offer valid one time per day from 4/29 to 5/12/24 at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
Escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Man, oh man, Godzilla versus Kong. They are big, dude.
What'd you think, dude? You saw the movie. You've been bragging about going to see this movie for a long time.
Yeah, dude. It's been it's the highlight of my entire year going to a movie theater for the first time. And I got to tell you what, man, went to IMAX, sat right up front, yelled the whole time.
Good.
People left around us because we were yelling, which I was like, things are coming back to normal. This is exactly what I want. I was so high, I forgot that I was not in the movie. I got lost in the parking lot.
Woo!
Afterwards, I was like, yes, this is it. We're back in, baby.
This was the experience you were craving for a full year, and this is what you did with it. You alienated a series of other moviegoers and then got lost in the parking lot.
It's called live theater, but you thought it was a movie. And I don't mind that, though. I like having human reactions when you're watching a film. But, man, it was good because Mechagodzilla's in it.
Okay.
They all fight each other. Very big. Very physically large. There's Hollow Earth. Shit in there, ripping us off again.
Whoa.
And again and again. Pointed criticism of podcasters in it, which is, again, I guess now par for the course.
Maybe fairly accurate. That was my favorite part about the remake of Halloween, when the podcasters are in there trying to interview Michael Myers.
Yes.
And as soon as they died, everyone in the audience was so happy, including myself, because I saw a little bit of myself in them. And I also saw a little bit of my death when they died. And I was like, that looks peaceful.
I can't wait to go to sleep forever. You know who's the first one who did it? Technically, was Kevin Smith in Tusk. Was the first podcaster, like, as a role in a thing, in a movie. And then he also got tortured to death.
Yes, he did. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. We are happy to be with you. Hope everyone is doing well out there as the world slowly opens like a horny little clam.
It's opening up like when your grandmother used to accidentally drop her panties.
Oh my goodness, that was my grandmother. She used to do that all the time. She called it courting. We called it granny. Pull the pants back up. We are in public. But nonetheless, she is sweet. Now she is gone to heaven to drop her panties in the sky in front of God. Henry, speaking of loss, Henry, I have to talk to you about this.
Do you think that even Michael Jackson would look at it?
I think that Michael Jackson would look at anything. It's about him masturbating to it while looking at it. That's the key difference.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I look at a car crash, but I don't necessarily masturbate next to a car crash.
But you know what you just did there, Henry? You just asked a poignant question. Would Michael Jackson look at my grandmother's butthole if she dropped her pants in heaven? And those answers could only be found on one platform, and that platform was Yahoo. And apparently, Yahoo Answers, after 15 years of giving us nothing but false information.
They served this country as a place where the meth-addled and the lonely could go and ask questions like, are there dog angels? I missed that place.
And Yahoo always had an answer, but no more. Yahoo Answers is shutting down after 15 years. And I'm serious. Why now? Like, why did somebody just go into Yahoo and was like, I think we're giving some pretty batshit answers to these really strange questions. Should we just, like, cancel it?
I honestly feel it's this kind of the same way that they destroyed the entire digital department of Adult Swim as, like, one of those where they just kind of coughed and 30 people lost their jobs. Where I think what happened is that Yahoo, they probably just forgot that they were paying for Yahoo Answers.
That is possible.
They just didn't think about Yahoo Answers in any way, shape, or form. And then somebody finally was like looking at a bill somewhere and they're like, spend like $15,000 on data holdings for what is it? Wait a second. Let me see. Are there dog angels? Are there?
That is the big question. Some of the questions that used to be asked on a regular basis. Do you think humans will ever walk on the sun? That was one. And you think, oh, that's a stupid question. But you know what? There are no dumb questions. There are only people. If you're questioning, you're thinking.
There are no dumb questions. There are only cock scientists.
Absolutely. Another hot question. Did I turn my boyfriend into a vampire? You have
did
to
you?
Know if you did.
Did you? Did you? Because from your actions, taking him to Transylvania, showing him to all the many wives of Dracul, Vlad Dracul, the original Dracul, who must still be alive. And they wear those diaphanous shirts. You remember they got the redhead one. You could see her nipples.
Absolutely.
Winona Ryder is over there. You could kind of see her nipples if you're looking really, really hard and you are, because you're a boy or you're a girl needing to see those nipples and you're staring, staring. Of course you became a fucking vampire.
Absolutely. One more question. Is there a spell to become a mermaid that actually works? Because
just
you know they went to different things. They were on Quora being like, how do I become a mermaid? No answer. The only place you could go was Yahoo Answers. But unfortunately, no more.
And I honestly am pretty certain that that was all the same person.
It's very possible. It was most of our mothers actually asking those questions. But how nice is it was that Yahoo was there to field the questions that no child would want to answer when their mother asks them because they want to love their mother. And they want to say, my mom had it all together.
Yes.
Yahoo was the bed, was the home.
It was
home.
A safe place.
It was the safe place for any single aunt who accidentally sniffed a marijuana cigarette and got a bunch of new ideas. You go to Yahoo Answers. And people did respond. It was very important.
It's not about it being true or not. It's about getting the response. Because then you could say, oh, there is an answer. And it just comes down to you didn't ask for a correct answer.
Nope.
You asked for a Yahoo answer. You don't need a real answer. You just need what the internet thinks it's real because that's where you went to go get your information. You didn't go to the wise man to the village.
No.
You didn't go to like a library. Whatever, bro. You didn't go to Wikipedia.
You can
the
also,
other places on the internet where you can actually get information.
Snopes. You can also, you can't see Henry, but he's wearing his MK Ultra shirt. True question. Mm-hmm. How many different truths were actually secretly placed in Yahoo Answers where spies from around the globe would go and they would say, follow the question that asks if she just turned her, boyfriend's testicles into little gremlins. That question will let you know where the nuke is hiding in Iran. Like there must have been some hidden truths within Yahoo Answers that we'll never know about.
Honestly, what I vacillated, right, between the idea that the government does massive conspiracies and that, you know, like the original idea of like, you know, the reptilians deep inside of the government, the idea of purging large amounts of human beings in order to create an easily controllable group under a one world government. Like I was in that spot and then I swung all the way to the other place and like all of these fucking morons. Yeah, they're pedophiles, but they're not planners.
Sure.
They're just trying to get reelected. And that's really what it comes down to, money. But then as I start to read more and more of the CIA releasing these UFO documents.
Oh, which we were going to talk about.
Yes. The more you see the fact that actually the intelligence communities of all of the things that they do, right, or don't do, That is something they definitely do. They definitely have people that go on the internet and answer and do this type of grassroots intelligence, quote unquote, anti-intelligence, like offensive intelligence against the American people. They do that. They monitor articles that are written online about various subjects that they have protested far too much, that they didn't care about over the years.
And of course, we're going to get into a true crime story here in a second. And we will be talking about UFOs a little bit later on because there is some kick-ass footage. But I must mention the fact that Henry just said the word doo-doo twice.
I am just... you know, what it comes down to is, you know, a man and a man
can be friends. Isn't that amazing, that entire
rant? A man and a man can be friends for a decade.
Yeah, yeah.
You had 15 years, we're friends.
Yeah, there was substance in the rant, but the only thing I picked up was when you accidentally put the words doo-doo together, which then forms doo-doo, which then makes me think of poop, which then totally negates anything that you just said. Isn't that weird?
To me, it shows that you're not a CIA shell. You know what I mean? Or is it the opposite? Smokescreen.
See, now
wait a second. Are you being a human smokescreen? Did you really go to Vegas this weekend or did you go to DC?
Yeah, I'm a human smokescreen. My code name is Emphysema. So you know I'm nothing but a smokescreen. Well, we have got to talk about this one story first because it is so freaking scary. Be careful. Speaking of the internet, oh my God, just be very safe because it's easier than ever, it seems, to stalk people. And it's easier.
Oh, yes.
So anyway, this is the story. It comes from ABC News.
This story is, these are the type of things that truly do keep me up at night. Alleged stalker who left candy outside woman's home arrested after shooting her husband, attempting to kidnap her. This is from John Hayworth at ABC News. A man has been arrested after stalking his former colleague for over a month, shooting her husband and attempting to kidnap her from her own home. This is on Friday, April 2nd.
Good Friday. Oh, my goodness.
I forgot that it was Easter weekend. This is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a guy named Justin Arthur Ray Davis who has the stalker name.
Yes, he does.
Like that is the name of someone that would kill someone to impress Jodie Foster.
Absolutely. And Jodie doesn't want you. I promise you.
No one
will be impressed. Not even when a cat brings a mouse to the door of the owner that loves it. Is the owner like impressed with the cats that killed? The owner's like, God damn it, I have a serial killer for a cat, but I'll look past it because it can cuddle sometimes.
I know for a fact Jodie Foster doesn't give a fuck about you.
Definitely
she is she is cooling her pussy in a bunch of ice because she gets scissored so hard every weekend because somebody has to keep her focused on work. All right.
Absolutely.
And the only way you can do that is by overwhelming a woman or a man with orgasms enough so they can finally read a newspaper or a script.
Absolutely. We did say that this man shot her husband. Fortunately, he did not kill the husband.
He did not kill the husband.
But Henry, listen to this. He shot the husband through the hand. You know who else had a couple of wounds in their hand?
Whom?
Jesus Herman Christ.
Wow. So Jesus Hermanity Christ?
Yes. So perhaps this is a bit more deep than we're giving it credit for, as this man now is the new Jesus.
Well, you have just went straight to the secret schools of ABC News. This is all allegorical. But no, Davis, he stalked his victim for over a month. They were working together. We don't know where they were working together. He resigned at their mutual workplace.
Uh-huh.
She then made reports that Davis kept showing up outside of her apartment, leaving candy and food on her doorstep. I guess like, you know, like Tokyo or like Japanese super fans, like they're like when they're, because I had a friend that used to work at Tokyo Disney.
Okay.
And he played Doc Brown in the he used to have the Back to the Future ride.
Sure.
And he used to play Doc Brown quite a bit in Tokyo, and people used to come and bring him gifts. Like it was really cool. Like he used to have like girls used to like hang out like waiting for him and stuff. It was kind of fun, but not like this. This doesn't work.
Why would a stalker? He's not trying to get a badger out of its hole. Why would anybody put candy and a little sandwich on the steps of someone they're trying to court that's a human woman, an adult? This man is 44 years old. I just don't, like, if you woke up every day and there was a sandwich outside of your door, it would get so weird by like day 8. But then you're also like, what's the message here?
Hey, have you never read that new dating book put out by Cosmo Press? Treat Her Like a Squirrel. It is It's incredible. Women just want berries and they want orange rinds and they want like a little house that they can just crawl inside. That's all a woman wants. We know what women want here.
I just learned what women want. I had no idea. I didn't even see the Mel Gibson feature because I didn't want to hear the hard truths.
I don't want spoilers of what women are thinking. I want them to tell me themselves. Yes. But Davis, he kept escalating this until finally one day he showed up in front of their house. They were leaving their house. I guess to go on a normal day of doing bullshit. This was the victim and her husband. And then Davis, he showed up in his truck with a shotgun. He chased after the couple as they ran back into their apartment. He then shot through the door, hitting the husband in the hand, making the Jesus wounds. Then he went into the apartment, grabbed the victim, dragging her down the stairs.
Oh my
basically
God.
Saying, don't come for me because I'm going to shoot you. But then, thankfully, because he blasted off his shotgun a bunch of times, he went outside. The husband went down to fight him. He said he was going to fucking shoot him in the head if he tried to stop him. He blasted off a couple of warning shots, and then the cops rolled up. He tried to get away. He left the attempted kidnapping victim behind. He tried to get away, and looking into this mugshot, he looked like he got fucked up. And
this guy got fucked up. He looks like he was just in some kind of barbed wire wrestling match. His nose is all bruised. His forehead is absolutely wrangled like it went through a meat grinder. Funny thing about this was, after the cops showed up, he went on a short police chase, but then immediately crashed his car. So the cops were able to get him fairly quickly. And you know, you still get charged with running away from the police, despite the fact you didn't even go far. I said you should be charged by the mile. So if you make it like 300 miles and that's a full-on police chase, yeah, let's do a date. Let's do a month a mile. Month a mile. That's going to be a pretty lengthy stay.
That's almost fair.
It's almost fair. He barely made it a football field. You know, give him.
The problem was that I think he was shooting a shotgun.
Yeah.
And it was holding everybody hostage. I think that's the main crux here of what people are going to get for. Also, dirtying a policeman's baton, and which is a crime. Sad. It's so difficult because I think that these might be police related injuries that he might have gotten his head probably clunked against a seat or two. Because in the end, if you're going to do it to somebody, do it to somebody like him. But you shouldn't do it to anybody.
Maybe, you know, or I could also see this just being a straight up windshield, boosh, like just nailing his head on the windshield. Either way, the guy probably needs to go to an immense amount of therapy and needs to be sort of held at a distance from society until he is proven to be not batshit insane. But when will that happen? We just don't know.
It's so hard because she called the police saying this man is stalking me, but it is very difficult to get someone to stop stalking you legally without it because
why can't you get
a restraining order, but it does nothing. It's just a piece of paper that says you can't come near me, but it does not stop someone from physically arriving near you. Cops can't persecute stalking crimes because they're very difficult to put together the evidence for. You have to have like a lot of evidence. I'm not quite certain. Honestly, side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. If you're a lawyer or a police officer that knows anything about how people put together their cases against stalkers, I would love to know it. For future reference,
what rises to the criminal? When does it become criminal when it comes to
stalking? I believe
it's
physical assault, unfortunately. I think that it gets down to, like, you can't just bust somebody for scaring you. It has to cross the line to everybody's dead.
All I know is they could have found one police officer who loved candy and food, and they could have said, "Officer Herbert Patrolman, you have the best job of all time. You sit here."
Yeah, I was born to be a patrolman. It's my last name.
I know, Officer Patrolman. You have to sit here. If the person comes, gives you candy, give the candy, have a little candy, have a little bite of the sandwich, make sure it's not poisoned. You're also the front lines of taste testing. You may die, but you're also going to save a life, and at some point, you're going to help someone not become crucified. Isn't that nice?
I tell you what, I prepared by eating a whole basket of peeps this morning, so I'm ready to go. But I'm also the peeps are kind of stuck down because I think the peeps are mostly made out of some kind of plastic. There needs to be some kind of warning label on these peeps boxes saying you shouldn't eat more than 9 or 10 in a girl.
Well, I think that was supposed to be sort of in your mind initially to not have 10 boxes of peeps. You're also a police officer. So I'm just wondering if you're smart enough to have a badge.
Look at my gun! Bam! Bam!
Whoa, whoa,
bam! Bam!
Whoa.
Bam!
Live from your grave.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about two literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins. As soon as I wake up, and a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/lastpod.
Well, speaking of food, let's go on to a different stalker, a stalker of a different type. And of course, we're talking about the bird, the raven.
Oh, yes.
Ravens are a notoriously intelligent bird. And because they're so smart, it also makes them extra evil and dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're definitely they're the little James Caans of birds. I don't know why I made them. James Caan is not a devious man. He might be, but he seems like he would be.
In some film, in some roles, he certainly was. But of course, he was the victim as Kathy Bates cobbled him and forced him to write a book. But then again, if you're not writing, are you even an author? Get to work.
Okay. Yeah, right.
So ravens have been accused of stealing groceries from an Alaska Costco. And these customers, they are very aware of what's going on.
Wait a fucking second. They dare. These ravens are dare coming for my beloved Costco customers. This fucking, the Costco lanyard, that should be, This should be received with respect.
Well, these ravens don't care about anything other than their own tummies. So there's this fella, his name is Matt Llewellyn. He was packing up his groceries in his car, and then sure enough, a bunch of ravens came, and you know what they stole?
Gaw, gaw!
They stole his short rib! The raven stole his short rib! Can you imagine seeing a raven take the short rib you were planning for dinner? Because you know when you buy the short rib in the store, you already celebrate a little bit, and you're like, I'm so excited. And then a bird just takes this massive package of short ribs, and then you just have to stand there like a jackass? Do you call the raven, please? How do you ever get it back? You don't get it back.
I tell you what, we wouldn't be eating short rib that night, but you know what we'd be eating? Raven. If he's trying to come after my fucking short ribs.
And let's be careful not to murder the raven, because again, they've only been accused of the crime. They've yet to be charged.
I'm sorry, due process. Due process is very, very important. So this is according to Llewellyn.
I literally took 10 steps away and I turned around. Two ravens came down and instantly grabbed one out of the package, ripped it off, and flew off of it. The meat was a 4x7 inch large, a sizable meal for a sizable bird. That's according to HuffPost.com. They know what they're doing. It's not their first time, according to Llewellyn. They're very fat, so I think they've got a whole system here.
This is the biggest thing to ever happen to this town in Alaska, and I am here for you, my people. That is so scary. The idea of going out, you go to the Costco, everything is fine. On the way back, you better have a little pellet gun, or at least a Nerf gun, or a flare gun. You have to have something to distract these ravens, or...
A sword.
A sword, or you know what you do? You buy a little extra food while you're in there. Give it as an offering to the raven.
I'm not negotiating with these
fucking
guys.
You're going to have to. You're going to have to because they're not going anywhere, Henry.
I'm purchasing and bribing my way to go through the Costco. I pay to be here. I have a Costco membership. Okay? You ravens, you don't. Until you can figure out how to make money, you can figure out a way to put on a human-like outfit in a big group of ravens, put a jacket on, put a hat on, you get your own Costco membership, then you're allowed to. Or you befriend me. And then I will bring you into the Costco because that is the most, you know, you're a real friend or a real family member when you are allowed to ride on somebody else's Costco membership with them to go to Costco.
Oh, that's
because
huge.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
That'll make you common law married. But this part of the story is one of the funniest things that I have ever heard in my entire life. So
once he got back home, he noticed that one of the ravens had taken a poke at another rib, but did not drop it.
So I cut that meat out, and I started marinating it. And my wife said, that's gross. We should take it back. And I tell you what, Costco actually took it back even after we had started marinating them, and they gave us a full refund.
So This dude, he saw that a piece of his meat was taken off, a chunk was taken off.
And he tried to marinate it,
and he still marinated it until his... Thank God from heaven sent wife was like, you don't have any idea how fucking disgusting that is? Do you know what ravens eat? Do you know the diseases they could carry? I just love that
was a short rib. He was so looking forward to short rib.
I know.
You don't understand, man. I have all this meat sitting here. If I were to take out one of my racks of ribs that I currently have fucking chilling in there because I have to eat more meat according to my butcher box rules, like these, if I had someone come and steal my ribs, I would fucking... I was watching this series on YouTube called Psychopathy Is, and what it was is interviews with this very cheery, tiny woman that basically she is a diagnosed psychopath, and they asked her all of these questions about what it's like to be her, and she's like, it's just this thing. I don't experience sadness. I don't experience anything that's deeper than rage or hunger. Like, that's what she said. That's the only thing she experiences. But the one thing she said is that she goes into a thing called a gray rage, which is a fugue state where she's like, what most people don't know about me is because I'm a 5'4" woman. So a lot of people don't expect like that much out of me physically. But what they don't know is that I can slip into a state where I understand whatever conflict comes out, whenever I feel like someone has a sense of authority over me that they don't deserve, what they don't understand is that I'm willing to go to any extent to make sure that they know I'm on top and they're below me. So whether it's physical, psychological, I'm willing to go as far and farther than anything they've ever seen. And when I wake up at the end end of it, I've already done it. So, and wow. I didn't even know I did it. And that's what I would be like if one of these ravens came and took my fucking short ribs.
Finally, a timber. That's my tall man Tinder joke. Finally, a Tinder biography I can get behind, though. There's a lot of words in there, but it's nice to know. Stay on our good side, and you will have a pit bull for a defender.
And this is why there is not just, this was not the only incident of Raven stealing Costco groceries. This comes from Kimberly Waller. My parents were minding their business after a shop and made it home with one less steak. The bird snatched it right out of that back in the parking lot. Now this comes from Tamara. She's like, I had two ravens, one that was on the car next to me, and he kept squawking really loud. He would sit on the car and he would stare at me, then hop next to the bed of the truck on the other side, and he kept going back and forth. The other raven was on the ground. He kept trying to pull. I had one of those little melons. Do you have in the mesh baggies? He kept trying to grab the netting and pull my melons off the cart. He was waiting for another opportunity to grab the melons off the cart, but they never were deterred. They would just stay posted, waiting for the next opportunity to steal something out of my cart. They're very dedicated to their mission.
That's because that raven was on melon duty. He was on the appetizer for the picnic duty, and then some other raven has a sixer of Bud Light somewhere, another raven has a bunch of coleslaw, another raven got the potato salad, and they all come together for a raven feast that the human eye couldn't even understand the joy in the mind of the raven as they consume nothing but great Costco underpriced meat and underpriced foods.
Honestly, also, if you're going to get good meat, that's where you go. You go to Costco because Costco's got the good lamb legs. Costco's got the good stuffed salmons. Costco's got the good, you can get a pretty good like family pack of T-bones. Like honestly, right. That's pretty good. They got pork roasts, which are pretty good. Mm. Honestly, Costco's fucking seafood is also off the chain. That's really where you want to go if you want meat.
If you want meat, interestingly enough, the Anchorage Audubon Society, they actually count ravens every year. The group reported that there were 923 ravens in 2018.
Wow, great. Thanks.
621 in 2019.
Cool. And how much money is coming out of my taxes for you? Cool. That's great.
And 750 in 2020. My question is, how do they know they're not counting the same bird twice?
I want to set that whole building on fire. Well, no, I believe know. In it. I'm going to say right here, side story. So I'm going to speak for you, Kissel. We support the Audubon Society.
I'm
going to dial it back.
Absolutely, Henry. This is, if you're old and you have one like job or a hobby, you work for the Audubon Society, you count the ravens in the Costco parking lot. It's fun. You have a tally. It's like those people that go to baseball games and don't even look at the scoreboard really too much because they already have everything. They're watching the game so closely, they tally it all themselves. Like, it's sort of a fun way to waste time, I guess.
I tell you what, I'd rather you, if counting birds keeps you from shooting up a casino in Vegas, count up those birds.
I
hope you
agree.
Count them all the time. Because also, we're going to need to count on the Audubon Society when it's finally man versus bird and the final animal wars. That will happen. I know that will happen. The Krasilak, the great typhoon. We will have to face the birds and one final who gets to live on this planet with the food that's left. And we will have to kill these birds in order for us to survive.
Didn't we already? There's so many species that are like eliminated forever. Haven't we already done that?
Yeah, we beat those. We have all the rest of them we have to beat.
All right. Well, according
we've already chained up the chicken. We got the chicken on our side. Pigeons are just fun.
Pigeons are beautiful little animals. And if they poop on you, don't be mad. Say, oh, that's a sign that I'm going to have a good day. Flip it and reverse it, even though it's obviously not fun. Rick Sonnet, he is a former wildlife biologist. This is what he said. He said, for years, decades, they've watched people in parking lots of grocery stores with all this food, talking about the ravens. The ravens are
stalkers.
The they in this.
These are stalkers.
These are stalkers. He goes on to say they, again, the ravens, know what a piece of fruit looks like in a grocery cart because they've seen it on the ground or seen it in a garbage can. So they're not just flying above having a good time. They're scouting. Makes me once again respect the raven. Hat off to the raven. Sure. Scared of the raven, hat off to the raven. I'm starting to think they should take over. They should be the national freaking bird. Get out of here, bald eagle. You're blind.
Man,
let's go to the raven.
That's so fucking metal. Like, honestly, it's very goth, though, more so, I imagine. But the idea of having, like, just to have a goth White House would be so much fun.
Oh, that would be fun. And we're not close to that yet, as the satanic panic still continues to rage. But I would love if we just, you can take religion off the table or anti-religion or whatever that is. You can have just a vibe of a goth White House.
Oh, that would be so cool. It would be amazing if Joe Biden just once came out, like all like The Cure, with the smeared red lipstick and his hair all tossed out. He's like, I'm just understanding what it's like to be a little munchkin, be a little scroungy kid. I don't know, get up in there and here's a quarter, kid. Go buy a turkey. You know, then you're just like, Mr. Biden, this can't buy a turkey. He's like, all right, here's two quarters. Go get yourself a haircut. And she's I can't do this. It's $18.
Let the dementia run its course, Mr. Zabrowski, and we might just see that in a few months. Or years.
Yes,
you never know.
Yes.
I love it. All right. So be careful, everyone, with those ravens.
Live from your grave.
Ah, Jules. Oh, Jules. Make a wife smile today. The road to getting engaged can be long and full of memories and pitfalls and landmines. Or it can be short and thrilling, like a roller coaster on the way to the police department. But the road to finding the perfect engagement ring is a straightforward path every time. All you've got to do is head over to BlueNile.com, and they're going to ship them rocks straight to your wife's new fingers. On BlueNile.com, you can create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can imagine. At a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler, Blue Nile is the original online jeweler since 1999. That's present time to me. Their diamond price guarantee means that in most cases, they can meet or beat a competitor's price on a comparable diamond. I know when I got my wife a beautiful Blue Nile necklace, the first thing she did was, what did you do? But afterwards, she was so happy to have it, and she loved it, and she wore it when we went on vacation, and modern! Did everybody come around being like, where'd you get that piece, you beautiful woman? And I was like, stop talking to my wife. She's spoken for. You can see it with the Blue Nile bling she's got on her. Right now, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LASTPODCAST at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LASTPODCAST at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done. And Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. And isn't that what matters most? Better writing means a stronger impact. Grammarly works across 500,000 apps and websites. You can't escape it. Like the ever-pervasive octopus of malice that is the NSA. Grammarly is watching your every move, making sure that you're doing it right. Data privacy and security are woven into the foundation of Grammarly, into the very essence of its nature. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner, and it helps your team make their point and move faster, because that's the key there. Work smarter, not harder. Yes, Grammarly. You know how many times it saves me from writing a long, rambling, one-sentence email at 4 o'clock in the morning to my beloved employees? Makes me sound like someone who doesn't just have a BA in theater. All right, I was taught how to be a tree. I was not taught how to survive as an adult. All right, my job was to cry in front of a weird Southern man who just told me all sorts of weird stuff about my body. I didn't learn how to write. So thank you, Grammarly, because you're making me the boss I gotta be to motivate my team to get out there. And, oh, man, you don't want to mess with them. Thanks, Grammarly. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at Grammarly.com/podcast. That's Grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste.
Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow! I just got to learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm going to be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/left, spelled Babbel.com/left. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, I want to talk about this story. The only reason why I want to, because it's not unique in terms of the UFOs, but what it is a cataloging of what it's really like on a ship when UAVs are spotted. And the fact that not only is there an entire system put in place that does this, that monitors UAVs, that shows just how common this phenomena has been and how it is. It's just what we are seeing more and more is how much the government already knew or was curious about UAVs, even though they said that they weren't. And now we are seeing that they not only did they plan that, not only did they know about UFOs, but they planned to see them.
All right.
So this is a story that comes from The Drive. You should really read this story because I'm not going to be able to do it justice. But this is the this is the headline. Multiple destroyers were swarmed by mysterious drones off California over numerous nights. This was written by Adam Kehoe and Mark Sicatis. But the story, it's about the USS Kidd.
Okay.
These documents that came out, they did a FOIA request.
Did you say the name of it was the USS Kidd?
Yeah, K-I-D-D.
How is QAnon not picked up on that?
I mean, wait. Wait. It's coming. It has to come. Also, it's fucking Ron Watkins. I watched the Q documentary. We know it's Ron Watkins, or at least the combination of him and his fucking father. So can Q finally be over soon? Can it be done soon?
Woo! All right. That's a topic. You just opened up a can of worms.
Yay.
No.
Here we go. That initial account described a tense encounter. So they're basically seeing that this was... So the USS Kidd was surrounded by these drones over a period of nights. The Drive went and got a FOIA request, and they got all of the deck logs from the ships involved. And then, additionally, their investigation utilized hundreds of gigabytes of automatic identification system ship location data to forensically reconstruct the position of both military and civilian ships in the area during the strange sequence of events. So the first night that this happened was July 14th, 2019.
Okay.
There was a UAV sighting around 10 p.m. on the night of July 14th. It shows here on the deck logs the statement that says, away Snoopy team for two UAVs. So it's in the log.
But the Snoopy team is. It stands for the Ship, Nautical, or Otherwise Photographic Interpretation and Exploitation Team.
So yes.
It just rolls off the tongue.
But it is a group. It's somebody that's on a ship that they use civilian cameras, and their jobs are they document unknown contacts, events of interest, and other objects of interest on short order. So they have all of their systems pinging, but then they just send somebody out with a camera to go take a picture, right? Like as soon as they see something.
Sure.
And they immediately saw this shit in the sky. So they sent the Snoopy team out to go and take a look at it and take pictures of it. But then as soon as that happened, the USS Kidd then entered into a condition of restricted communication designed to enhance operational security and enhance survivability. Okay. So they basically shut down. Less than 10 minutes after the sighting, they went and told their fellowship that now there are multiple drones. USS Kidd reported UAV overhead. It is now warned. So the Snoopy team is watching them. There's now two drones overhead. This is at 12:10, right? Okay. USS reported UAV overhead warned. So now they're seeing several of these things. It's more about what I'd like people to do is go to the article and look at the way that it is transcribed. And so they see they see initial sighting. They see a red flashing light. They don't know what the hell's going on. They see a white light identified hovering over the ship's flight deck. Now this is after the ship tried to move it tried to move position. The log reflects that the drone managed to match the destroyer's speed with the craft moving at about 16 knots, which is very difficult. It's very difficult for a civilian drone to do this, or even a commercial drone. Apparently, this at this point, the encounter had lasted over 90 minutes. They're watching this light in the sky, and which is far longer than any commercial drone can possibly fly.
Yeah.
So that was one sighting. The next day, July 15th, it happens all over again. It is pinging all over the ship. They send the Snoopy team back out. They say, and this is when they're even closer to the coast. And now we know that it's serious because this thing and the log say mark 87 stations, which is this whole system. They don't know what is exactly clear, but there are several things it could be referring to, which is the Mark 87 electro-optional director that is a component of this massive infrared and optical turret known as the MK-20 electro-optical sighting system. Some fucking bullshit.
Okay.
But basically what this is, that's the eyeballs for the 5-inch gun on the battleship. It also could possibly mean this, it's something having to do with them turning on their guns. So we know for a fact that they are looking at this thing. They don't know what the fuck it is.
And it is fascinating. As Henry said, go to the article. It is thedrive.com. And just to say the headline again, so you can find it, multiple destroyers were swarmed by mysterious drones off California over numerous nights. And obviously, we're not going to sit here and read all the emails, but they have a lot of different emails going
back and
forth.
There's a lot of emails.
And there is a lot of question marks and a lot of like, okay. And seemingly, just judging from the vibe, seems like a lot of excitement.
There's a lot of, it just shows that there is a weird plan in place. They went to go see if there was operations going on around the ship, and there were none. They actively reviewed what was going on. And then the main thing that came out of those emails that it says this issue is getting a lot of quote unquote high level attention. So people were looking into this heavily, probably whatever it was that is the remnants of whatever ATIP was or whatever that group is, that inner UAP group or UAV group. They have had tabs on this, and there was a chain of command that was in place to look at this issue. But you know, there's a lot of people there keep calling them drones. So the bosses too kept calling them drones.
Yeah. Apparently the San Clemente Island, I guess that was an island nearby. Apparently it's known for a lot of different testing and things like that.
They said they had no tests running that night.
So it always goes up to the toss up question, extraterrestrial life or new military equipment. And either way, it's interesting because
it's
if it is new military equipment, then it's like, okay, thanks for letting us know, I suppose. But wow. And we also have some really cool footage over the Montreal International Airport. You can find that at Lockheed75, which is, of course, a very interesting name on Twitter, Lockheed Martin being one of the most powerful industries in the history of the world. But if you go to Lockheed75 on Twitter, you can see the footage of the UFO, and it is absolutely awesome.
That's a really good one. You got triple, you see a big light split into three, which, you know, people are immediately like, it's fake, but I don't know. The one that I will say that is wild is if you go to UFO Last Minute on YouTube, this cigar-shaped UFO is dope. You gotta fucking put your 3D fucking goggles on with this fucking shit, dude. Get that fucking keef going in your fucking throat and then fucking go look at this fucking cylinder buzz all of these houses. This is some wild ass shit, but I guess it could be fake. You know, that's what everybody wants to say because they want to be able to go back to their precious little jobs and their precious little fucking lives. They don't want to look up and see it be real, because if it's real, then everyone's gonna have to quit everything. And honestly, I welcome it. Where is the fucking big disclosure?
Well,
show it to me.
You know, this next story will remind us why UFOs and the idea of extraterrestrial life is so fun and fascinating, because humans here on Earth, I don't know if they're always doing the right thing. Especially, seems like a lot of husbands. So this is coming.
It's hard to be a husband.
It's not that hard, but this is the headline from the Daily Star. Hannibal Lecter husband murdered wife and dumped her body
in row over frozen chips. So
again, with the chips, again with the fucking chips, these guys with their fucking chips. I don't know what goes on in the UK. The amount of blood and attention that is poured into chips and crisps in the UK, I don't know. It's more than, because America, they can accuse us of being fatties, right? But I see far less French fry and potato chip news here than there.
Don't forget about what happened when the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich got out, when it busted out. And I think a lot of people got stabbed in line.
The Popeye's chicken sandwich. That was they just didn't properly control the rollout of that.
But apparently this dude, the guy's name is Thomas McCann, not to be confused with my fantastic seventh grade teacher, Tom McCann, who was just one of the best history teachers of all time at St. Pete's Middle School in Stevens Point. Love you, Tom McCann. Thank you for what you did. So this dude murdered his estranged wife and chopped up her body after she accidentally defrosted frozen chips, which are just French fries, I believe. So he had some frozen fries. She defrosted them and he murdered her and dismembered her freaking body. Parts were found in bin bags. I feel like
there's just so many ways to not do that. There's just so many ways to not kill your wife over French fries.
It's so insane. Parts of her body were found in bin bags by dog walkers. Again, be careful. I don't even know if just look straight. When I walk, I look straight. I'm never looking left, never looking right. I can't find a bunch of body parts in a bin. I can't deal with that today. I'm working on my own stuff.
Yeah, but you don't know when you're going to get, we're going to get kidnapped.
I don't know who could ever have a car big enough to kidnap me or the amount of drugs it would take to trank me.
We could probably clip you with the car and then when you're confusion, grab. I mean, honestly, that's how I would kidnap you.
I'm so happy that I laughed and then you said the sentence, but honestly, that makes me feel really good. So McCann, who likened himself to the infamous movie cannibal Hannibal Lecter, pleaded guilty to the murder and was sentenced. But my God, just this is very disgusting. According to a neighbor, the neighbor messaged Yvonne, that was the victim, asking if she was okay. And Yvonne responded saying it was over a frozen bag of chips. This is like an Everybody Loves Raymond episode gone to hell.
It is.
Because it wasn't about the chips, was it? I'm sure that there was something else that was underlying. There were some underlying issues there.
Straight up, though, weirdly, it could have just been about the chips. Who knows? Because this guy does seem, he seems fairly imbalanced. He has one of those like Nazi haircuts kind of, but they were an estranged couple, which is a lot, but he strangled and dismembered her following her death. That's the thing, is that it's more what happened after him strangling and dumping her body part. That's really the main crux of it is that he cut her up in little pieces over it.
I think was really, that's really where it gets out of line here.
But also the disposing of the body, because I kind of, passionate murder, like not over French fries, but the idea of like seeing red or like killing somebody, that's almost a thing that a lot of people can relate to. It's the after somebody's dead and then you're like, I better chop this person up, that I think really shows the difference between somebody who's like normal and maybe pissed versus someone who's...
Henry, I don't want to talk out of line here, but how's therapy going?
Oh man,
how is therapy? We do this thing now. Have you uttered that sentence where like a lot of people see red and could kill their significant other, but I would never chop them up.
That's my wife. I would never kill my wife. But somebody I don't know. But you know what my therapist and I do is that we'll take two broomsticks and then we'd fake fight until I go to sleep. It's really been very nice. It's been very, very helpful.
I'm so happy you're going to American Gladiators therapy.
Yes,
because it seems to be working. So
honestly, Zap has helped me so much with my acceptance issues.
I love that. And Siren and the whole gang, we love the American Gladiators. So evidently he left the house after engaging and dismembering the body, and he went out for barbecue.
So, you've been looking at meat all day.
And in something that is even more, I don't even know why the sentence is so disgusting and so disturbing, but only 50% of her body has been found. So we don't know where 50% of Yvonne is. Their daughter, Rachel Lawson, said she was a full-time mom and a good mom, and she was always buying us things and wanted the best for us. It hasn't really stuck in yet. I love my mom very much, and I also love my dad. Yvonne's partner, Robert Thomas, says, I feel very angry towards Thomas. He has torn the family apart.
Oh, it just reminds me of the fucking Chris Farley sketch. How do you feel? angry.
Angry. Yeah. So anyway, just be careful.
Wow.
I guess, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So McCann's defense attorney, he said, this blew up. It was totally unnecessary. And he said it was just a small thing, but then it turned into a really big thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go. So that's that.
You just have to find a way to speak about these things.
I also don't really like the way that they use the term identified. Like, if your husband starts identifying as Hannibal Lecter, then yeah. I guess we're just going to have to talk. We have to do something.
We'll never get to zero if you're Hannibal Lecter. You know, like, we have to find a way. Choose somebody else. Choose another evil doctor, I guess, if you need to.
Sure. I mean, this reminds me of this is the murder equivalent of the dudes in college that really got into, like, The Godfather and were really into, like,
Scarface,
but this guy has Hannibal Lecter everywhere. And I'm just going to say this, Scarface seems much nicer than Hannibal Lecter.
At least Scarface had a fucking career. He had a friend and career and he had all this shit, where, like, Hannibal Lecter was in a cage that whole movie.
Oh, anywho, be careful and, I don't know. Just go ask your husband, do you feel like Hannibal Lecter today? And hopefully today, the answer is no.
Hopefully the answer is no, because he doesn't just pop off and just freak out on you and just being like, yes, what a wonderful cologne you're wearing, my wife. I can smell it from here. You'd be like, okay, well, I guess therapy is not going well.
No, it's not going well. Also, again, to humanize and to not be scared of anyone, just imagine Hannibal Lecter taking a big dump after he eats a bunch of human brains. Just the smell and how gross it is. And then for him trying to convince you that he's still like a super genius evil mastermind. He's like, not with a dump
I
like
will
that.
Say... I mean, you never know, because I've taken probably dumps that are very, very similar to what it's like to eat human flesh, just in terms of if pork is really as similar biologically to human flesh as they say it is, how many times I've sat and eaten close to 2 to 3 pounds of just sheer barbecue inside of my body, and then you shit that out. That technically, you know, it's like, you know that weird thing when you take a shit and the shit kind of smells good?
How's therapy going?
I broke 3 broomsticks last week, and then next week she says we're gonna do a ball pit. She's gonna shoot at me with the ball guns. You remember that?
I do, of course. Another American Gladiators reference. Well, I know we have to. I know we got to move on to the Hero of the Week.
We should go to Hero of the Week. I just want to quickly say, do you know what kind of went under the radar here? Was that scientists wirelessly connected human brains to computers for the first time ever? That's really gonna gain a lot of steam, and that's
this
gonna
is
be
huge.
Here.
This story is so huge. I went to a YouTube hole about, like, how do you live forever? You know how people will do that when they feel like they're about to die. One of the guys literally said, you slowly take a piece of your brain off and you put it in the computer. You slowly, like, it's actually tangible. You take your brain apart slowly and slowly. And then as your biological housing goes down, you take the other half of your brain. If you have a fully half of your brain inside of a machine, and then they pump it in there. So it's actually like Krang. But then
that's my dream.
I know. But in this case, they're doing it wirelessly. But then also, does this mean they can read your thoughts? In which case, do you go on trial and then they say, oh, you said you didn't do it. And then they put this up and they're like, and look at this mapping that we have of the incident from your brain.
Right now, it seems to just be about physical manipulation. They've been working on technology. This is published in the IEEE Transactions on Biomedical Engineering Journal. My favorite one.
Oh, I read this every day.
Those letters are so hot. The team recorded the results of their tests of the system when used by 2 paralyzed men aged 35 and 63 suffering from spinal cord injuries. The system works by connecting the transmitter devices on the users' heads to an electrode relay within the brain's motor cortex using the same port and used by wired systems. So during the tests, both participants were able to achieve typing speeds and point-and-click accuracy similar to wired systems, and were able to continuously use the system for up to 24 hours in their own homes. So they're using it to essentially use computers, which is going to change so much shit if this does work, because we know Elon Musk, as was working on, they already have successfully put computer ports, like four more material, more computer material into pigs' brains.
Yep.
So we're getting closer and closer to this idea of you and I are going to be able to play in the NBA when we're 75 years old with exoskeletons. That is my goal.
And that is true what Henry said regarding the pig. Elon Musk unveiled a pig called Gertrude with a
Neuralink.
Yes, with a coin-sized computer chip in the brain to demonstrate his ambitious plans to create a working brain-to-machine interface. And, of course, as with all new technology, there is an opportunity for corruption and some horrible things to happen. But that being said, if you are in a coma or if you are paralyzed, this could be absolutely life-changing. And so there's a lot of good things to happen as well. So it's just endlessly interesting.
Well, because that's the idea. I think that there are people that will obviously be paranoid about it because at first it will be very scary. But I think like many things like the smartphone, like it will become so day-to-day that you won't care eventually. Eventually you're going to look at it because they are trying to say, they're trying to say that they're using it for paralyzed people, which they are, which I think is great. But you know, they might be using it for giant soldiers that we're probably going to use to fight in a bunch of wars. And then we're going to spend billions of dollars in this technology. And then we're going to have to use it because if not, it just sits like in a hangar somewhere and they can't do that. They paid for it. So they're going to want to blow up a lot of stuff in the meantime.
Your fantasy future is such a nightmare, Henry.
Not for us.
What do you mean not for us?
Not for comedians who are just going to use this to monitor our brand spanking new jerk-off machines that are going to look like lizard's tongues. You know what I mean? We're not going to care about this stuff because we're going to be coming too hard. We're going to have the machine in our brain's going to simulate our pleasure glands or whatever. And we're just going to always be seeing things in hazy labia pinks.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I always say, go for a hike. Why not? Also, I've never said that, but only in this case, I would say, go for a hike. All right. Well, let's do Hero of the Week. And obviously, that story that we just talked about there with the brain, that's going to be going on for the rest of our lives, these kinds of stories as they continue to evolve. So we shall see. But anyway, let's do Hero of the Week. So as we know, on a serious note, there has been an uptick in violence against the fantastic Asian American community here in this fine country of ours, which is something that we are obviously opposed to. Treat people with respect, and my God, don't buy into any of the misinformation that is spread so easily online.
Just pumped in your fucking brains. Just know for a fact that everybody's just a person. Everybody is, we're all dealing with this together. We're all trying to get through this year, and everybody, there's no reason for it to make us all fucking attack each other on the street.
That's the thing with these little drones. Don't think about the brain thing. They got a fascist up here controlling everyone. Anyway, okay. So this Hero of the Week is Maddie Park. She raised $100,000 to keep Asian Americans safe by paying for their Uber rides. Obviously, we've seen a surge in violent attacks right now against Asian Americans. Absolutely uncalled for, unwarranted, and please God, do not participate in anything like that. If you know anyone who is doing that, you know, use love and you can change their mind. Not to be totally Marianne Williamson, but
wait, you're talking about having sex with them?
No, that's not necessarily love. That could also be lust. This is according to People magazine. So Ms. Park, she has an initiative called Cafe Maddie Cab Initiative, which pays for private Uber and Lyft rides for females, elderly, and the LGBTQ Asian community. She says, it was a 30-minute commute, and I realized every minute of those 30 minutes, I was terrified. I was scared that at any moment in time, someone might say a racial slur at me or attack me, or worst of all, I thought that something were to happen to me, nobody would stand up. So she says, because of this, she said, I have to do something and help people. So that is what she is doing right now. This is what she told WABC. She says, people who are donating are people from all across the nation, all across all races, ethnicities, and they just sent me messages saying, listen, we really want you guys to be safe too, and we're donating so that more people can take rides in the city. So I think this is a nice plan, and it's good to keep people safe, and remember, we're all in this thing together, and don't let the binary media and the binary social media world convince you otherwise, because they got a lot of money to keep us divided. So Maddie
Park, you are Hero of the Week. Seriously, thank you. What a good person. And that's nice.
Absolutely.
Now let's go back to Let's go to some more good people. This is our listener emails. Woo! Nothing but the best people. Nothing but the best. This comes from a Target security employee. I thought it was really fun. I've worked in different levels of security / loss prevention / asset protection for over 25 years. Wow. And I spent nearly 10 years of that working for Target. This comes from our story where the guy had sex with Olaf. I'm going to say had sex with Olaf. He raped Olaf. We know that for a fact. He didn't ask for it. We don't know, though. But Josh Gad might, but not Olaf.
Yes.
Now, my first day on the job, I caught a guy who had spent, based on video review, about 3 hours driving around to different parking spots and jerking off. The officer who responded and arrested him said both the subject and the car interior was, quote unquote, covered in cum.
Oh my God.
Another time, I was watching someone who I thought was about to steal a stack of CDs, if you need to gauge how long I've been doing this, and suddenly, just out of focus and in frame, I could see the lower half of an obese man's torso with a long, untucked polo. Before I could process it, he had lifted his shirt, revealed his dick was pulled out of the waistband of his pants, and he was quickly jerking himself off while looking at the other customers. And most of the other cases, even if we knew the suspect was following or specifically looking at one person, we would still register the security officer as the victim to avoid having to inform the customers, so as long as we ourselves observe something obscene, meaning most of the people who were the focus of these creeps have no idea unless they actually saw them. I wish I could say this was limited to the customers. But when I got to a certain point in my career, I worked internal cases. One officer was suspected of theft, and we were given a tip to investigate. So during secure surveillance, including hitting cameras in his office, this guy suddenly stood up and without any real prompting or warning, dropped trow and started humping his desk. The angle of the camera was clear that he wasn't looking at anything, like a magazine or even a closed circuit system, just a blank wall, the desk, and him, his uniform shirt covering the top of his bare ass, pumping away, presumably rubbing his dick on the top until he completed. Surveillance continued for 3 shifts, trying to validate the theft as well, but we were left watching this guy screw office furniture 2 to 3 times a day until we fired him. This took a while. What was weirdest to me was he had one of those rare security offices with an attached bathroom, but I guess he just really liked that guest. You really like that desk.
So he had, what's the name of that again, Henry, when you fuck random?
Frottage. Well, there's that thing. Frottage is when you is rubbing yourself on things. Oh, but I don't know what's having random sex with objects.
It's just, I'm just, that's the one, again, we're trying to look for benefits of 2020. And one of the nice things is we learned you can work from home. And isn't that nice? You no longer have to worry, like, why? How did that stain get on my chair, like, late at night? Like, it's just nice. You don't have to deal with anyone potentially rubbing their penis on your keyboard.
Yeah, this is I got a couple of stories from absolutely broken nurses. They're not broken. They're wonderfully, but they're wonderful and they work so hard. But they all want to talk about how we said that we can't eat or think about food when it comes to pimples, right? Or pimple popping.
Yeah.
And these are stories coming from some of the brave people, the real first responders of this year, and the things that they can handle. And some of this is pretty gross.
So these are real Dr. Pimple Poppers.
Yes.
Okay.
This is a story. There's literally nothing I can't talk about while eating. I've been an ICU nurse for 15 years. Oh. I've seen things that should never be repeated. I once received a critically ill patient after she coded and was resuscitated. She had a bowel obstruction and had fecal matter coming from her mouth.
Oh.
She was covered. Required a full quick bath before we can even get monitors on her. The thick putrid substance coming from her mouth and now breathing tube had an interesting aroma. My colleague commented that it almost smelled like pizza dough. We got her settled and then we went back to our pizza lunch.
Honestly, thank you so much for being able to do that. Thank you.
It's just some thank of this
because when
stuff,
I when Henry and I are both hemorrhaging shit out of our mouths in 3 decades.
I'm gonna need you.
We're gonna need you, and just thank you for doing that.
See,
for that woman.
I'm a CRNA, a nurse anesthetist, and I'm in operating rooms 40 to 50 hours every week. I've seen and smelled who knows how many cysts removed from all parts of people's bodies. And after ever having been in healthcare for the past 12 years, there's nothing that can stop me from putting away a rack of ribs or a fat ass greasy burger. In fact, it gets to a point with healthcare workers that most of us describe various bodily maladies in culinary terms. Currant jelly stools, a beefy red wound, juicy fruit breath, which is patients in diabetic ketoacidosis, and likening any number of bodily fluids to a variety of gravies, puddings, cheeses, and so on. Watching Dr. Pimple Popper while eating dinner with mashed potatoes and gravy doesn't even give me a second's pause. It's wow. all what you're used to and interested in, I suppose. This is the worst one, I think. Love the show. I can't wait to y'all come to Berlin. Me too. We cannot wait to come back.
Absolutely.
I'm the kind of person who can happily eat while watching Dr. Pimple Popper. I actually watch it to relax, along with foot makeover videos. People with crazy calluses and grown toenails. I've always been completely fine with gross stuff like that, even as a kid. I used to work with horses a lot, as a trainer and a general helper at a rescue center down in Texas. We got one horse in who had a huge honeydew-sized melon abscess right next to his anus. Everyone was fighting over who would have to drain it. They did not want to be the unlucky person when I walked up. Lucky for everyone else, I'm deeply fucked up and volunteered to drain it myself. It was amazingly disgusting. Touching it, it felt like a huge, squishy water balloon, so I knew I was in for a messy day. I suited up in rain boots and made a shirt and pants out of a couple of trash bags to try to protect myself before going all in. We numbed the spot before doing a small incision, and it freaking exploded. I'm talking fire hydrant level of intensity, shooting what smelled like liquid death straight out of this horse's second asshole.
Lasted
a second or so, and thank Satan I wasn't in the line of fire. But then came the hands-on part. I had to knead the edges and squeeze all of the rest of the liquid out. It's running down the poor horse's legs, pooling on the floor, and the stench. Oh, Jesus, the stench was something I've never experienced before or since. It felt solid in my nose, like someone mixed the rankest roadkill, chicken shit, and hot diarrhea together into the devil's potpourri.
Oh, my.
Only by the devilish grace of Satan himself did I not get any of that putrid juice onto me. Only on my boots, which were promptly thrown away. But honestly, other than the smell, that was one of the most fun experiences I've had. Though I did have to shower about 8 times before the scent finally fully washed out of my pores. The horse made a full recovery and got adopted a couple of months later. Well, that's nice.
That is very nice. And again, thank you for doing that. I'm sure the horse loved it. Wow. All right. Well, any other emails?
No. No, okay. Not at all. They ruined me for emails.
Yeah, we'll leave it on at that. Turns out Dr. Pimple Popper is the mainstream because I didn't see anything regarding horse second assholes.
No.
All right. Nope. Well, there you go. Thank you all so much for listening. Yeah.
Live your day every day knowing for a fact, unless you want to, you're not going to see a giant honeydew melon-sized abscess on the asshole of a horse. And because if you do, you can just laugh at it because it's not your job. You can move on.
Oh.
But love the people whose jobs are to cut open those big old fleshy bags and empty out all the liquid shit inside of it, because when it comes down to it, we need those sickos to do these jobs for us. We're going to need it later on in our lives.
Yeah.
So hats off to these people, these very, very strong practitioners of the macabre arts of medicinery.
I love it. Truthfully, Henry and I talk about, because when you have little dogs, you have to get their anal gland squeezed. That to me is a disgusting experience. I can't even imagine what these people can deal with.
I can't imagine.
Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing well out there. Hopefully you weren't trying to eat anything for the past maybe 10 minutes or so.
I'm honestly very hungry.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. Be safe. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everybody.
Hail me.
Go walk.
Go take a bath.
Yeah, maybe a bath.
Now I'm feeling disgusted.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.